Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line once again, 251-343-0106. Coming up here shortly, about a half hour from now, Will Hampson, our Tuesday regular. Stick around for that. Still got to work through these texts, and then we'll get into some other topics here. Mike, I never saw a single mailer or heard a commercial from Jack Williams. Christina was everywhere. Jack wrongly thought he could coast into the second for ag commissioner. Well, you know what, though? We'll go through the results here. Because he did well down here. Jack Williams, he did not do well in Baldwin County. Obviously, that's McInnes's home county, but she has 63%. And then she did well in Escambia County with 46% overall. Jack Williams won, let's see, he won Mobile by 4 points. His home county, he only won his home county by 4 points. He did better in Washington County. He won by 31 points. So kind of quasi his home county. He did well in DeKalb County, and I'd seen him up there campaigning, actually. 4th of July, Speaker Ledbetter and Majority Leader Livingston do a 4th of July political event. I used to go and do the radio show there, but now that I like to take my five-year-old places with me. We'll probably make an appearance there again. But we went to the parade, and he was there. I think that paid off. Let's see. He also won Marion County. That's Hamilton. Won Greene County. Won Coosa, Talladega, Clabbard County, and Chambers County. But a lot of red on the map, a lot of Corey Hill. But McInnes, to do as well as she did without the Alpha endorsement, and Corey Hill came from a long way out. I mean, Marshall County. But he did well in the Birmingham market. I guess I'd look at Jefferson County. Christina McInnes at 37, Jack Williams at 35, and Corey Hill at 28. But anyway, he coasted at two counties. You're right. He didn't dominate South, and having the vote split with a McInnes from Baldwin County and a Williams from Mobile County took that advantage away. And it became the rest of the state was up for grabs. Toothless Bammer, not sure what Polymark is saying, but I have a feeling Cornyn might pull his Senate race. I don't know. The polls just, the Trump endorsement. And to think about it, the guys who are endorsed by Trump tend to underpoll. It's a Republican primary. If it were more than just Republican, and you have competitive elections on the Democrat side of the ballot there in Texas, it's just hard for John Cornyn right now. And I think Trump got in it late because he sees the writing on the wall. Look, somebody sent me a picture of a crow on a dumpster wall and said, look at J.D. Crow frolicking in a dumpster in the Fruit and Nut District. Jason. There are several tunnels in Maryland Bethesda's favorite son can focus on. Jeff, was Shamar Figures the one linked to the judge Herman Thomas filth? No, that was a brother. I think a kill figures. Be dark. Damn you, Jeff. You sound like a broken record. I don't know. I can what way? I mean, the news is the news, and if it repeats itself, I apologize. How many people get the broken record metaphor? the record with the scratch in it. How many people you think even had a record player back in the day? And bought real albums. Vinyl. Now it's kind of a hobbyist thing, I guess. Not listening to a lot of Taylor Swift on vinyl, are we? Any Morgan Wallen? Does it just sound better on vinyl? I don't know. Sorry to deviate from the broken record discussion here. If you haven't heard, three-judge panel, I guess they waited to the like 9 a.m. Eastern, and put out a they put in place an injunction to halt Alabama's congressional elections. There's not a lot of optimism that this will stand. Now, there's no certainty here that the Supreme Court won't once again vacate this injunction. And this is another one of those, I don't know what Polymarket or any of these prediction markets are saying. But it just doesn't feel to me like this is going to stand. And the reason it's hard to take serious, if you read the language of the injunction, I need to read it one more time for you just tuning in. After an exacting review, we conclude that the preliminary injunction must issue. Ultimately, we cannot see our way clear to requiring Alabamians to cast their votes in the 2026 elections under a districting plan tainted by intentional race-based discrimination, the judges wrote in the ruling. And under the unusual circumstances of this case, we conclude that a limited order requiring the secretary to continue using the court's race-blind map will not disrupt Alabama's elections. All candidates ran under the race-blind map until 15 days ago, and all voters remain districted under the race-blind map and electoral computer systems. And then we reject the strongest possible terms of state's attempt to finish its intentional decision to dilute minority votes with a veneer of legislative regularity. Why was that necessary? Why was it necessary to castigate the state and the legislature? That's what undermines the decision here. But I don't think they ever proved this, that there was a racial intent by the Alabama legislature when they drew the map. And how many times do we hear from Chris Pringle on this radio station that they cannot take race into account when drawing maps? If anything, the racial maps are drawn by the federal court. Now, the problem, there was some bad lawyering here when the state had to defend the map. I'm not going to deny that. We're the victim of our own legal strategy. But a right's a right and a wrong's a wrong. And you can't hold voters hostage. Just, you got to have your best punch to throw when you're before the Supreme Court, and Alabama clearly did not have that. Maybe it was a good idea at the time. It was a good idea enough to win over the Alabama State Senate, which prevailed in that 2023 special session, if you recall. But anyway, 251-343-0106. Sorry, Jeff, I had to get agreement somehow. I prefer Bark's car, Willie. Be Dark, following up on his, and he sends it repeatedly just to make a point. Pat, I've got plenty of old vinyls, but my favorite is the Morgan Wallen ones I have. Really? It's something that I wouldn't mind. If I had time for a hobby, I just don't have time. I've gotten really into sound. Headphones. My home studio, it's overkill. Two processors. The old tubes. That's what you're listening to, a tube microphone right now, by the way. And it's always kind of fascinated me. But it's just finding the time to really understand it. I mean, it's like a retirement hobby. Mike, is it possible the Supreme Court could put Athabasca's kangaroo court on some type of preclearance? If the area continues spinning at the Constitution, it seems there should be some kind of disciplinary action. No, they'll just, I mean, we've seen this before in America where you have a rogue court, a rogue handful of judges, and the Supreme Court just repeatedly overturns their cases. And, you know, like, there's sort of an unspoken rule that you want to avoid that. That's bad for your judicial record. I tell you, though, these three judges, Marcus, Moore, and Manasco, enjoy your judicial lifetime and judicial appointments, because you're never going to move up. Anna Manasco is never going to be on the 11th Circuit. She's made too many enemies out of this. I think the invective is unnecessary in your legal writing. Like, you spent all your Memorial Day vacation stewing about the Alabama legislature and what they did. How dare they? How dare they question this court? Doesn't it matter? I waited all weekend for the North to pull up per the request of AOC. I'm still waiting and nothing. I'm beginning to think she is not reaching her audience. Those are quite remarkable comments she made. Haywood, the judge called it a race-blind map today when earlier was specified as a race-based map. Yeah, it's a race. They called it a race-blind map. The court's race-blind map. That's not true. How can it be race blind at the same time of being corrective? It's a Democrat partisan map then. The courts they've essentially overstepped their mandate to draw a map. If it's solely based on partisanship, well, what's it based on? It's not based on communities of interest. What is, if the federal court's map is not based on race, then what is it based on? And so somebody tell me that. Pat, it's not even a hobby. Just while we're cleaning the house or whatever on the weekend, just throw it a viral, turn it up. I also got my 10-year-old niece into it, and she has almost every Taylor Swift album. Her dad just loves me for that. I can imagine. Let's get a break in here. I'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time.
Welcome back to the Jeff Horst Show at FM Talk 106.5. Vinyl records played on good equipment is equivalent to a tube radio compared to CDs. A Matchbox radio is better sounding than a cell phone. Well, you know, the digital recording and the imperfections, but that's, like, I guess, supposedly part of the mystique, right? I don't know. I haven't played a record since like middle school. I have a record player. Like, I finally got a CD player, and I thought I was in high cotton. And cassettes, there's no clamoring for cassette players, is there? I used to spend hours just looking for recordings. I was a music guy. It's a classical music guy for a while. Short-lived run at being a music major in college. But the sound, it's something that intrigues me that I need to spend more time on. But I guess the point is just finding the time to take this on. Keith, the court maps isn't race-based. It's based on how many black people or white people live in the area. And says it with a laughter emoji. Because if it's not race-based, what is it? What is the current map that the court is trying to protect here? Because they call it a race-blind map, and I reject that. That is nonsense. That is a lie. That alone is grounds for the Supreme Court to come in and say, hey, no. They're not being honest. That this was not an honest process from the get-go, because they also told us it was an opportunity district, and it turned out to be Shamari Figures by 9 points over a well-staffed, well-funded Caroline Dobson effort during an election cycle with Donald Trump on the ballot. That is a lie. That's why people don't trust our institutions, because our federal judges peddle these lies. Thank you for repeating the latest developments. For those of us who could not join the broadcast at 9, don't worry about B-Dark. She may just be having a grouchy day. Derek, you seem like the kid that got a lot of wedgies, or probably had a full Voltron set. That's neither true. The kid that got a lot of wedgies. In what way? You seem like the kid that cheated off of my paper, probably, Derek, to be honest. And you probably had like the knockoff Voltrons. Wasn't Voltron's just a knockoff of Transformer? So you probably had like the Dollar General, whatever Dollar General was in the 80s set. That's what you seem like, Derek. 251-343-0106. Programming note, tomorrow on the show, Joey Clark, a couple other guests. I need to start getting into some of these candidates. We're going to do more with AL1. We'll see how long it takes for the Supreme Court to move here. I think they'll move pretty fast. And that will kind of set the pace for this. I guess this entire station. Which AL1 are we living under? Which AL2 are we living under? Which, because that's why this requires this urgency. They're not going to leave voters in Alabama hung out to dry here. And I know there's a lot of statements that have been put out. My favorite thus far came from the Speaker of the House, who put it out on social media. I believe this decision is blatantly a violation of the Supreme Court's ruling in Calais versus Louisiana and will not stand once it is presented in the higher court. There's nothing more than a politically motivated attempt to weaponize the judicial system for partisan gain. Alabama's every intention of taking this to the Supreme Court and fighting back. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
All right, let's take it on down from Muscle Shoals to Decatur.
Spanish Fort into Mobile, my hometown. Mr. T.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Tuesday morning, 251-343-0106. You were into GoBots. Derek was into GoBots. Costco Music calls, you know, it, being trained in the arts doesn't make you a kid that gets wedgies. It prepares you for the future. I have an understanding of, of history and society and understanding the theory of music, which is applicable to the theory of a lot of things, Derek, but I'm not gonna try to respond to your response to me. I'll just assume you had GoBots and cheated off of me in history class. Joining us now on the line, he is the Vice President of P2 Public Affairs. Will Hampson is with us. Will, how are you?
Jeff, doing great. Hope you're staying dry down there this week.
It was a rough holiday weekend, but it seems to be much better today. So we'll just get your thoughts on this real quick. I don't think that this injunction is going to stand, but it is kind of the buzz that this lower federal court is. They're just picking a fight here. They're mad about the legislature, and you can read the injunction and the language in it. But I guess people are a little concerned right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jeff, Shamari Figures, I think his statement on this kind of says it best, right? I mean, he came out and said this is really good, but we expected it from this three-judge panel, and we still have the hurdle of the Supreme Court where Democrats, Shamari Figures, and the like are not as optimistic. So this is kind of classic Democrats, right? I mean, they use the courts. Even if they know that they don't have the legal ground, even if they know that they're going to lose eventually, they will use the courts to try and slow this down, bog it down, and frankly hope that that Republicans are unwilling to continue the fight to get this done. So
but there,
I think
there,
that's kind of the playbook here.
There's no reason to believe that's the case, right? There's no reason to think that Republicans are unwilling to continue this fight.
100%. The question again, Jeff, is all just timing, right? Do Republicans come out and say, you know what, we're out of session, we've already had our special session, maybe we just let this go and let, you know, Governor Tuberville kind of handle it when he gets in? And that's, I think, the question. I don't think it's a question of whether Republicans win. I think it's a question of when Republicans win. And obviously there are some very invested parties that would rather we win now. On the flip side, you've got some Republicans in the state who I think don't really care when we win as long as we win eventually. And so that's, I think, the big question here is what map do we get? When do we get it? What's the timing? And what's the will to get it done right now? We saw, Jeff, there was not a will in Montgomery among Republicans to get a 7-0 map done. So while I absolutely agree with you, I don't think that the Republicans, the Attorney General's office, I don't think they're just going to drop this. But we have seen some instances where they've signaled that doing this right here, right now, with the utmost oomph behind it, there are a lot of people that's really not how they feel. So it is kind of a question, I think, of when we get this.
I think at this point, though, and the speaker put a very good statement out, expected this necessarily from him, but I think it becomes less about, and this is not how it should be, a map, but you know that the court here, by taking their jabs at the legislators, made it personal, and I think that's going to cause them, even if it's this lame duck legislature, if for whatever reason they have to go back into session to really go more aggressively against the court. We'll see if that's needed. I don't think it is, but I can just tell you, like, the early read here when they said that, and there's all kinds of problems here, race blind map, race this, and that the legislature was acting with a racial animus here. It's just, there's no proof of that. There's no evidence. It's all just conjecture. And I think Montgomery will react to that more than they will it being a 7-0 map for the sake of Donald Trump or whatever.
No, I completely agree with you, Jeff. I think right now this is a lot of a perception thing, right? And a lot of this is not fair, but Alabama has a reputation, and something I'm hearing from a lot of people in Washington today is, you know, golly, those really well-intended good old people in Alabama just screwed it up again. That's what you're hearing, right? Like, these are just, you know, some happy-go-lucky people down there that just can't seem to get it right when everybody else does. I think that the legislature, I think that the speaker, I think that there are people that, again, not that this is necessarily any fault of their own. I think we both agree that this three-judge panel would probably have given this injunction no matter what the map looked like. But they are acutely aware that there are some people looking at this going, gosh, you guys just really seem to have a lot of issues with this whole redistricting thing. And nobody else really seems to be having the same level of issues.
No, you're right.
And Alabama keep losing.
And I think we had some bad lawyering. And we had some really good lawyering from Eric Holder, from Mark Elias, from the cottage industry that you, I mean, they used Alabama, and they were successful in a way that they weren't in other states with the 14th Amendment argument. And
that's a thing, though, Jeff. Sorry to interject here, but that's another perception, right? Is that if we make Alabama play in the big leagues, which when you're talking about Elias, you're talking about Eric Holder, that there is a perception that Alabama really can't handle it. Those guys are double A down there. And if we kind of give the, you know, give the big league run at them, they just can't handle it.
No, you're right.
And I think we bought into that perception by continuing to be on the wrong side of this.
I don't think we bought in on it, but I do think we got out-lawyered at the high court, and that there just wasn't what needed to happen in the Supreme Court, and the just seemed ill-prepared, ill-advised, a bad legal strategy. And it ended up coming back to haunt us, and it continues to haunt us to this day. But, I mean, bad lawyering or not, ultimately, like, right versus wrong is going to prevail here.
Absolutely, Jeff. And again, I think you've got a speaker who understands the stakes here. He wants to get this done. He wants to get it right. To your point, he came out very strongly. And look, you've got an attorney general's office also, Jeff. I mean, obviously, Steve Marshall was pretty embarrassed by a third place finish in the Senate race. If he wants to move on and kind of rehabilitate himself and his image, he's got to start to get some wins. Nothing more high profile than this. You've got Katherine Robinson, his deputy in the attorney general's office, who's trying to convince people that she should have the top job. A win here goes a long way to that. So you have a lot of stakeholders that I think understand that there is a lot at play, and they need to not only get this right, but they need to have a little bit of urgency. So I think if you're looking at it from that perspective, it's really good to see that, you know, whether it be personal, political gain, whatever, that the people that are going to be in charge here at least do have some fire under them to get this done and get it done right and get it done quickly.
Joined by Will Hampson here on the program. What's happening in Texas today?
I think that that John Cornyn is going to see that sabotaging the Trump agenda for as long as he did, that being a liberal, even with an R next to his name in a deep red state for as long as he has, is going to end up being the end of his career. And look, Jeff, I mean, I think we know obviously all of the ebbs and flows of what happened for us to get here. I don't think people realize just how close John Cornyn was to getting the Trump endorsement. In the kind of 48, 72 hours coming out of that primary. So the whirlwind of where we've gotten, and I think we are going to see a pretty significant victory for Ken Paxton. I think it's going to be double digits. I don't think there's going to be any question that the state of Texas is ready to move on. And I think it's going to put a lot of others on notice that, look, you guys can't be the New York Times, you know, darling for 5 years and think that just spending money is going to dupe voters. I think there are a lot of people out there that's kind of been their path to winning re-election for as long as they want. This at least puts them on notice.
Well, tell me something, though. And, you know, it's interesting to me. Oh, I how does a guy like Lindsey Graham survive? How do, I mean, there's still, I think that the playbook, and we saw this in Alabama this cycle, Will, where we had so many undecideds in this race, and it played itself out. But the old playbook, the old consultant playbook strategies, TV being the gold standard, and the way you win elections, it's not applicable anymore. And it's certainly in Alabama, but I think in some of these other places, and that works against a guy like Cornyn.
Yeah, and I think, look, the way that these things work, Jeff, is that you get a big war chest, not to prop yourself up, but to absolutely destroy who you're running against, right? I mean, that is always the playbook here. Lindsey Graham does not win re-election because he's popular. Lindsey Graham wins re-election because he outspends his opponent 50-1, and people go, I guess we'll go with the devil we know, rather than the devil we don't in this guy that seems pretty awful. You know, we saw $60 million of attack ads against them, so I guess we'll just go with the guy we've got. That's the playbook, right? They're not trying to be popular. They're not trying to convince people that they've done a good job. They're out to absolutely destroy anyone that has the gall to run for their seat because they think it's theirs. They think they own it. They think they know better than the people of their state. And that's the path. And so I think what you're seeing is a pretty unique kind of aligning of the stars where you had a very popular statewide elected official in a state where he was able to have a lot of sway, a lot of power in the attorney general's office in Texas. Then you throw in some of the institutional support he got, like the Turning Point USAs and the grassroots support that he got across the country. Then obviously you throw in President Trump, and it was kind of a perfect storm. But, you know, it still obviously takes a lot. And that's pretty incredible to overcome $100 million plus in spending is a pretty unique thing. So by no means is this kind of the rule in how to beat someone like a John Cornyn or an established incumbent, but it's good to see that it can happen. And I certainly think, obviously, the way you're seeing the Senate start to really, really fight back at the president, they've taken notice of what's going on for sure.
Yeah, I just think, it took about 25 years for, the way media has been democratized to really start impacting these elections. But the way of winning and the way you used to do it, the old playbook, it's starting to fall apart here. And we have this problem in this country, and you and I talk about this all the time, where you have these well-funded, campaigns with these big, massive war chests. But they're too prone to self-enrichment when there's a bunch of money floating around like that, and not about winning these elections. And I think we're finally starting to see the fruits of that.
Well, Jeff, the other problem is that the way that you make a lot of money off of campaigns is by dying mediums, right? Like you get a cut of the TV buy and you go on cable and you spend a ton of money there. Well, look at what President Trump did with his alternative media strategy of going on podcasts, going on these new platforms. These are new ways where you are able to get to large swaths of voters. Unfortunately, they don't make consultants a lot of money. And if you look at some of these new media outlets, right? I mean, take to this morning, a perfect example, I think, when this news broke in the three-judge panel, 1819 News was up with that story way before Yellowhammer News was. I mean, you've got these new media outlets coming in and doing a really good job in reaching large groups of voters, really important people who are going to vote. They're really engaged. It gives new opportunities to candidates that didn't traditionally have a lot of money to spend. And you've got these establishment and consultants who've been doing this for 30 years. They still want to just put your money on TV because then they get the cut of the buy and they make a lot of money and they buy a new beach house. And who really cares if the guy wins or loses? That's unfortunately the way it is. And when you look across the aisle at Democrats, they're in it to win it. Republicans, consultants, a lot of times are in it to make a lot of money. Democrats are in it to win it. And if we don't catch up with that attitude, we're going to be in trouble.
Well, I tell you what it is. It's true for the most part. We get to a presidential cycle, then the opposite is true. And I feel like you kind of got to be a little out of power in then you sort of lose that we're in it to win it mentality when you're in power. And that's the way there's this enrichment game works. And, you know, because like the Hillary Clinton campaign in 2016 is a perfect example. You had this well-funded, all the best people, and they got beat by Donald Trump. The circumstances of this last election in 2024 were a little different just because of the way Biden exited the stage. But I'm telling you, well, I think that, that you know, we talk about the money and the politics, but in some ways the money works against these guys because they're just trying to get their beaks wet.
And the fact of the matter is, Jeff, at the end of the day, you need money spent on a message that resonates. And a lot of these guys are just so out of touch with their voters. They think that the way that they ran their county commission race in, you know, 1980 is the same way that you win a race today in 2026. And as we're seeing, it's just not. It doesn't always work. They have to adapt. They have to understand where to reach voters. But most importantly, they need to understand that the message to your voters matters. And ignoring your voters seems to be a losing message, and that hasn't always been the case.
Well, I mean, I see this all the time, and I'm up at the State House a lot. Hey, it's not really that important what goes on here. It's going out and interacting with your voters that has led to this system we have, where John Cornyn goes to Washington D.C. and he's a totally different person than he is in I don't know Tyler, Texas, or wherever. And it's finally caught up to these guys because people are able to kind of it is, yes, thousands of miles away or whatever. But we know what's going on there. And it's just you got to adapt to that. These guys these legacy guys who have outstayed their welcome have not caught up to that.
And it's also tough, Jeff. I'll make this really quick here. I know we're almost out of time. But what happens in the smoky back rooms used to stay in the smoky back rooms. Now it gets leaked. It gets out to reporters. It gets into the masses. People know what's going on a lot better than they ever have. And I think understanding that some of these people are going to go and tell you how great they are and they're really conservative and they love Trump, et cetera, that meanwhile they're undercutting him in backroom deals. Well, now that stuff is getting out and people know. And it's a tough recipe for success.
Will, folks want to find you online, where do they need to look?
The Will Hampson on X, and every Tuesday here on the Jeff Poor Show.
Will Hampson, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Will. We got to get a break here. I'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Good times. Unwind, falling out of love in the same dollar. Can't say I got a whole lot of cares. I'm in the redneck Riviera. It's getting crazy. I'm getting hammered, sitting right here. At the Florabama.
Good morning.
I fly a starship across the universe divide. And when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this, what's left of this Tuesday morning. Tomorrow, Joey Clark and a couple other guests to be named later. Sorry, Jeff, I ain't got no one else to rant to that would rather listen to one song from Taylor Swift. Sends me his stack of, he's got a stack of vinyl records, old vinyl records sitting here. And, Jeff, I hate to hear that they're destroying the child's mind with that fake garbage. Your music is the only thing that got my attention. DEI texter Talarico will beat Deadeye, so sure hope he beats Corden. I don't think so. I just, every single time we talk about the Beto O'Rourke couldn't do it. Why do you think this guy's even, you've doubled down. You AI generated Beto O'Rourke essentially to win in Texas. Good luck with that. And then one more here. Love the Godfather. What's your beak? I suggest you leave the gun and take the cannoli. There you go. Coming up here shortly, Midday Mobile. Sean Sullivan. Sean, what you got?
The show's all about cannoli. This is one of my favorite parts of The Godfather, so that's awesome. It's coming up in just a couple minutes. We'll continue to try to unravel the backlash that is the decision today from the three-judge panel. I'll do that with Todd Stacey as a leadoff batter. Then April Marie Fogel is going to join me, so we'll talk about that in hour number one. And then a new friend of mine, Gary Jarvis, is going to join us at 1 o'clock. And with wildfire season coming up, he's a homeboy from Washington County, but traveled all over the country fighting these big wildfires, doing all this, made a career out of it. And his stories are amazing and big in the prescribed burn world around here. So he's going to join me at 1 o'clock. Quite a history.
Well, we're always like under some kind of threat. And maybe I'm just more aware of it now than I was back when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I've just got a little preview when he and I were hanging out. So you'll love this. Check it out at 1 o'clock.
Y'all stick around for that. It's time for me to get out of here. We'll do more follow-up. I saw that the Alabama has appealed the ruling to the United States Supreme Court. That's just on the docket now, according to SCOTUS Wire. But I will try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis. I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.